He's called you. He's gifted you. But you have this thing that's in your way called a giant. A giant, work, life, family issues, money issues, the list could go on. But see, David understood something is you can never defeat the giants in your life until you're willing to enter into the battle. Too many times we don't like to enter into the battle. The battle gets messy. We've got people around us that don't know how to kill their giants. So they're battling their giants every day, every night. And what we need in our churches today is we need some giant killers. We need people when they pray, something happens. We need things when they sing, something happens. When they walk past people, something happens. You know what I'm saying? We have too many people that carry on this sad face that half of the other world has. And we ought to be joyful and happy. So remember David. David's daddy comes and says, hey, take some cheese up to your brothers. See, I believe David's daddy really wanted to know what was going on. But I want you to know something right there is David had to tote the cheese. Before you can kill giants, you have to serve. Some of you sitting in this room here, you have some tremendous gifts and talents, and you're not using them. David had to serve by toting the cheese to his brothers. A useless, senseless job of simply. But here's David. He gets to the battlegrounds, and the next thing is he hears a giant talking smack. Some of you got giants in your ears talking smack. And this giant is just bellyaching at you and bellyaching. And David says, what's going on? And they said, for 40 days, this giant has come out. Next thing, David says, I got this. I'll take care of this. The next thing is brothers come along and go, you know the story of his brothers. And then all of a sudden, Saul overhears, they overhear, and they take it back to Saul, and Saul calls for him. And Saul looks at him, and Saul goes, but you're just. See, too many of you have too many people in your ear that are telling you you're just. You're just an ex-drug addict. You're just an ex-alcoholic. You're just an ex-whatever. David says, look, I've killed the lion and the bear. The giant's nothing. He goes out and giant asks him, who do you think you are? David says, don't worry about me. You need to worry about my daddy. My daddy's big and my daddy's bad. Next thing is they get into a battle. David wins. So I want to look at some things that we see in that story. Three things about giants. The first one is they can't be ignored. They're loud. They get up every day in your face. They don't go away. Some of you got the same giants yelling at you that you had 10 years ago. Some of you have added new giants. The giants, they bring out fear in us. Fear is a bad thing. See, because what you don't kill today gets bigger tomorrow. That giant on the very first day was only 9 foot tall. How big do you think that giant looked by the end of 40 days? It was real big. What you don't kill tonight will hinder you tomorrow. The next one is they become obstacles. Obstacles are only an opportunity to learn something. Obstacles are put in your way, and your obstacles can become your stepping stones if you allow them to. God, Satan loves to put obstacles in front of me. I don't care. Because obstacles become testimonies. They become stories. I asked the guys this morning to tell what was the biggest life lesson they have learned to date, and they had 1 minute to tell the guys at their table. You should have heard the buzz in the room. See, that obstacle, God allowed you to live through it. Carrie is my bud. When Carrie was on the way to the hospital, I knew it. Do you know that? Yeah, I knew it. When the ambulance came and picked her up, I knew it. See, Carrie had a tremendous time here last year, last April. I don't know if y'all know this, but Monday morning she went and changed her college of what she was going after. Did you know that? God spoke to her so clearly on Sunday night, says, no, go here. Pretty powerful. And then Satan tries to throw an obstacle in front of her. I read one night, she sent me a text, and she says, why am I going through this at 19 years old? Why am I going through this at 19 years old? And I told her, because of the lives that God is going to put in front of you, that you're going to get to touch, that you're going to get to tell your story of how God showed up and God showed off. You know what she said back? I read it to my guys on Monday night, and when I did, it went a dry eye into place. She said, I would go through it all again for one person. It ran head on into God last April. Obstacles. Are you going to allow your obstacles to hold you back, or are you going to allow them to become that thing that catapults you to the place that God wants you to go? The next one is they come between you and victory. There's victory on the other side of your giant. I'm just telling you. There's victory on the other side of your giant. But between our giants and between our lives, there's a tragedy. And the tragedy is a life that we fail to live because of that giant. Are you failing to live life because of a giant? We were sitting in the Jacksonville airport. I'll never forget it. Six guys loaded on an airplane and went down to do a conference with me. They wanted to go and they wanted to experience it. And so all six guys, they loaded on an airplane. We went down and just had a good weekend. We were on the way back home when we were sitting in the airport and our flight was delayed. And we had this young guy, Greg. At the time, Greg was 22 years old. I looked over at Greg and I said, Greg, I says, why aren't you doing or why aren't you answering the call that God has on your life? And I so wish that young guy that was sitting right there was still here. He said, because I don't want to give up what I'm going to have to give up. Greg is now 34 years old, and his life is worse off now than it was at 22. His wife makes him come to Monday nights, or he has to move out. The tragedy. What giant is God asking you to kill that's standing between you and victory? It all changes with three words. In that story, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 32, David says something that totally changes the whole face of everything. He simply said, I will go. I will go and fight that giant. This weekend, are you willing to say those words? Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to step into the place that may be uncomfortable? To battle, to head on something that is a lot bigger than you? I will go. And David went. See, there's a lot of difference in saying I will go and going. He said, let no one lose heart. I will go and fight the Philistine. Are you willing? So let me just give you a few tools. The first one is your giant ain't Jack if you don't hunker down. We have too many Christians today that are hunkering down. They come in churches. Some of the churches I go in, they're the sourest looking faces. You've got a world out there that is just waiting for you. They're waiting to learn how to kill a giant. You've got people in your workplace. You've got people in your lives, people in your school. You've got family members that need to know how to kill a giant. But we hunker down. And then the worst part of it is that sometimes we have a giant in our lives, but we don't want anybody to know about our giant. Because if anybody knows about our giant, it's going to require something of us. You can't hunker down. Don't sweep it under the rug thinking it's going to go away. Because I'm telling you, it's coming back. The next one is you've got to move in faith. Faith doesn't reduce the uncertainty of fear, but it propels you forward anyway. You know, when it comes to faith, faith is a funny thing. I've got a lot of faith for Kirk, Pastor Ray. I believe y'all can do anything you want to do. But when it comes to me, not so much, huh? We have a lot of faith for everybody else. But when it comes to us, we limit it. The next one is you can't listen to the crowd. Remember David's brothers, Saul? They even tried to dress him in Saul's armor. Those who never killed a giant will always show up to tell you it's impossible. Those who never killed one will always show up to tell you, you can't kill that giant. You can't listen to the crowd. If David had to listen to his brothers and David had to listen to Saul, that giant would have still been standing. The next one is stop fighting in somebody else's armor. Saul tried to dress David. If David had gone out in Saul's armor, as big as Saul was and as small as David was, what would have happened? He couldn't have moved. He'd have gotten killed. David said, I've killed a lion and bear. That Philistine is nothing. Some of you, that lion and bear, you're going to have to kill your lion and bear in private so you can kill your giant publicly. Some of you are just looking at a little lion and a bear. You haven't even got to Goliath yet. Sometimes we look and we want to know why God does some things that God does. You can ask Him when you get to heaven, because we can't answer it. Pastor Ray may answer it, but I'm not. Last time I was up here, y'all, you remember Donna? Well, God decided He wanted to take Donna. My buddy, my little prayer buddy. When there was somebody to be prayed for, man, it was me and Donna. We watched God do more things in more lives. He took her. I don't know why. But you know the cool part is, before she passed away, she told her daughter, she says, you step in tomorrow. I got a new prayer buddy. I really believe this one is more powerful than the first one. Folks, stop trying to defeat your giants with everybody else's lips running in your ear. God's given you a plan. God has showed you how. Use what you know and do it how He said to do it. Don't fear failure. David didn't fear dying. He feared living with that giant. Failure only happens when you give up. You know the difference between failing and success? One more try. One more time. One more rock. One more giant. You got to move in His power. David moved in His power. David said, don't have to worry about me. You have to worry about God. God's going to take you out. I'm just going to be the tool that God uses. And the next two is where I want to go. The next one is they're not afraid to let go. David wasn't afraid to let go of the comfortable to move to the uncomfortable. What are you afraid to let go of? When I was flying here, I was sitting next to a person and I was working on something else. I'm writing a book for grandfathers. And at It's kind of more of a workbook. It's not really a book. But there's nothing out there that helps granddads develop the way they want a grandfather. See, the G to me in grandfather is the G is a guide. A grandfather's role is to be a guide for his grandchildren. So we're going to talk about what that looks like to guide your grandkids. But I'm sitting next to a guy, and I'm working on the book, and he looks over and he sees what I'm working on. There's some nosy people on airplanes. And he looks over and he says, "Wow." He said, "Is that going to be just a Genesis?" I said, "No, it's going to be a Christian men's book." And he goes, "Oh, you're one of them." And I was like, "I guess so." So we start talking, and Pastor Ray will tell you, we talked about the group I do on Monday nights. It's not for the faint of heart. It's pretty brutal. And I looked over at him and I said, "All I've heard come out of your mouth is all the junk that you're holding on to." "What are you talking about?" "Talking about all your past and all your pain and all your junk and all your history and everything else." I said, "See, you're one of those people that when you start talking about your junk, it's like shooting that needle in your arm. It's what feeds you. Because if you ever let go of it, you wouldn't have anything to talk about. See, it's your juice." And he looked at me and he goes, "Wow." I said, "But you know, the cool part is that God can take your past and give it a future. God can take your scars and turn them to stories. But you'd rather live over here." And then he didn't have nothing else to say to me. I wanted to go further, but he wouldn't let me. But you know, I figure it is God was just setting him up for the next guy on the next airplane or the next person. And the next one is understand that it will impact the lives of others. God puts you in places and situations where your life will impact those around you. I want you just for a second, think about the worst thing that has ever happened to you. Just for a second, just think of the worst thing that has ever happened to you. You live through it. You made it. You made it. See, God allowed you to make it because now you have a story that's going to help people as they cross your path. As you go through life, you have a story. So the next thing, when a giant shouts at you is keep your eyes focused on the right things, and that's God. But here's the problem, folks. When you get home, read the rest of the story. Remember Goliath fell? The army never moved. The Philistine army never moved. Just because he had a rock in his head, he was only down. He never moved. They never moved. David, in verse 51, went over to the giant, pulled a sword out of his scabbard, cut Goliath's head off. And it says the armies fled. The problem is that we're only killing our giants. We're not cutting the heads off. And as long as that giant has a head, there's a chance for it to come back. This weekend, you're going to get a chance to pull the scabbard out and cut that giant's head off. That way it has no more breath. Folks, don't allow your giants to rob you of what God's got planned for you. Your whole life has been leading up to a place to where God releases you. I wasn't until I was 40 years old when I started doing this. I grew up in church, ruined my life, wrecked it, totally destroyed it. God has a sense of humor. God says you. God interrupted my life. You look through the Bible, he interrupted just about everybody else's life too. Are you going to let God interrupt your life this week again? Are you going to cut the head off of your giant this weekend? Some of you in here, you just need this thing called peace. That ought to be your cry for this weekend. It's, God, I want peace. See, I picture tomorrow night is going to be a night to where some of you are going to get an opportunity to just crawl right up in the lap of Jesus and sit there. It's been a long time since you've felt his power and his presence in your life. Tomorrow night, we're going to do that. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to push your buttons to get you ready for tomorrow night. But folks, I said in here last year, when you get yourself ready, God will blow this place up. When you kill your giants and you start stepping out and you tote some cheese and you start doing the things that you need to do, God is going to blow this place sky high. But it starts with you. Starts with each and every one of you. You've got to stop listening to the people that are in your ear, and you've got to start listening to new people that need to be in your ear. You need to start stepping out in places that's uncomfortable. You need to allow God to interrupt your life. Folks, I'm going to tell you something, and I mean this, is when you say yes, God goes to work. Because now he's got something to work with. God could have chosen any method he wanted to save this world, to reach this world, and he chose us. Are you ready?